Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Up the Poshcast. Peterborough United have won an away game. I know it's unbelievable. It ended Huddersfield 0, Peterborough 1, and a clean sheet on the road as well for our troubles. I am joined by Ashley, Dell, Lods, Max, and myself, Charlie. We're recording on the Saturday night after the game, so the euphoria is still very much there. Dell, what are your overall thoughts?
Well, my overall thoughts are, well, it's Huddersfield. You know, Huddersfield again. And what way should I go? We believe we could win. We did win. Unlike them. But joking apart, I actually enjoyed the game. I think we looked a lot better than we have done in any previous games since Christmas or even before. They look really poor, if I'm honest. For a team that's in the playoffs, fucking hell, they looked shoddy. But no, I thought we played very well. I don't think there was any player that had a poor game. What more can you ask for? We had a clean sheet. We were solid at the back. We looked like we controlled the game. I think the only thing we could be negative about is perhaps we should have, you know, scored a few more goals. But overall, I was pleased with the performance, pleased with the turnout, nearly 800 fans, or just over, to go to a team that are flying up there. Nobody expected us to win. So, you know, kudos to us, our fans, and, you know, a good day out. Enjoyed it. I'm that happy. I don't even know what to say. But no, I thought it was a good performance. We deserved the 3 points by a country mile, to be fair.
Yeah, look, Del, you said you believed. I'm not sure that I believed that we were going to win that game until the world's worst referee blew that final whistle. I want to start on the negative of Darren Drysdale because he is fucking useless. And I hope that we never have him ref one of our games again. The most generic centre of attention referee I have ever seen. But as for the 13 posh players that took to the pitch today, what a performance. I am delighted to be able to sit here on a Saturday evening and just feel that outpouring of relief. I thought that, like Del said, to a man, they were excellent. Did we deserve to win today? Absolutely. And that's something that's been missing for a while. I am so, so happy for them all that, you know what, we've discussed about fast-paced, attacking, flowing football. Today was that. The scoreline doesn't reflect that. But at the same time, it's nice that we've actually managed to grind out a little 1-0. What more can we ask for?
There was some excellent individual performances as well, but as a team, I think that's probably the most team-like performance that I've seen since, you know, the 6-1 against Cambridge and the 5-1 against Blackpool. As a team attacking performance, it's been that long since we've seen it. It makes you wonder why we wasted all that time with a back five and trying to play defensive. I think the confidence was shot within the team. Darren Ferguson's confidence was shot in his group of players, I think. And today, he just said, you know what, if we lose 3-0, but we've attacked all game, the fans are going to be much happier than if we lose 1-0 and we just sort of like sit in a low block and hope for a draw or a breakaway win. And that's the story, really. It was attacking. It was one touch football. It felt like I was watching a Peterborough United team. I thought Oscar Wallin had one of the best performances in a Peterborough United shirt that he's had since coming to the club. I thought he was brilliant. And so was Taylor Dunn. And he's been a little bit inconsistent. But those two really made a difference today. I'm pretty sure Dunn blocked it almost off the line twice. Wallin was stepping up and commanding in his box. I don't think Wallin lost a man from a set piece either, which is a first. Or every time I've seen him defend a set piece, I'm almost adamant he's lost his man. So clearly there's elements of improvement, and overall we've come out with an attacking formation. We've attacked, we've won the game. And the scoring will come. You know, Del said the only upset that we've got is that maybe we didn't score a lot of goals. But at the end of the day, that will come with confidence. And winning away 1-0 at Huddersfield sort of reminds me of when we won 1-0 at Port Vale. that horrible scrappy 1-0 win that kicked our season back off again and put our confidence through the roof. This is, in terms of a calibre of a win, this is much bigger than winning 1-0 at Port Vale. You know, this is Huddersfield have come down, spent a lot of money, have an excellent manager. They've got a very good squad and they're falling apart a little bit. Yes. And we've capitalised off their bad run of form. But I think in terms of sort of like the attack and the way that we played as a team, I can't ask for any more than that. 1-0, 2-1, you know, even if it's 3-4-3, I don't care. That attacking performance for me is what we need to carry on. And if we play like that, we'll be fine.
Yeah, whenever we record one of these, I really try and think of both the positives and the negatives just so we can offer a bit of balance and not go too one-sided. But I honestly, I've been sat here all evening trying to think of a single negative from today and I can't think of a single one, apart from maybe the scoreline, but I don't think that was very reflective on the players. I think that's probably just a bit of rustiness in the final third and in the box. Really dominant performance in possession, trying to win back the ball when they had possession as well. I've not seen pressing like that from us for a long, long time. And that's not just our midfield or our defence that were pressing either. That was our whole front line. As soon as we lost the ball, they were trying to get it back again. Really good attacking, intentional play as well. I called for it after the Stevenage game last week. I thought we played really well in terms of that, especially in that second half. And we really continued. The player you mentioned, Edun, Max there, he was great. Every time he got the ball, straight away, he was trying to get forward. And that's just basically all you want from every single player for Peterborough United, really. Another player you've not mentioned that I thought had a really, really good game was Hector Kyprianou, who obviously is here for the rest of the season and then will be going in the summer. Question marks over his performances in the first half of the season, rightly so. But since the window's closed, I don't think he's put a foot wrong. And today's probably been the best performance he's put in this season, I'd say. A captain's performance. You want your captain to be present on the pitch. You want him to be rallying the troops. You want him to be all over the place, helping out defensively, helping out in attack. And that's what he did. And obviously his goal was him gambling in the box, which is another thing that I've asked for him as well. So all in all, very, very happy.
Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to touch on as well was Kyprianou. I think, you know, when you go away to the big away grounds in this league, and I think you'd have to consider Huddersfield as one of them, you need players to step up. And I think what you want to see from a captain is he was willing to do everything on that pitch today, Hector Kyprianou. He was willing to take the ball in tight areas. He was willing to go up and win headers. He was willing to lunge into challenges. He was willing to make blocks. And when your captain can do that, then he comes from a position of, I'm not asking any of my teammates to do something I'm not doing myself. It was a top performance from Hector Kyprianou. I think, you know, when you go away to those big games, as I'm saying, if it's a 1-0 win and your captain scores the goal, then you know you've got the right captain. And he was excellent today. Another bit of credit, I think, has to go to Archie Collins, who partnered him very well. I think those two just have such a great understanding when they're on form. And I think the whole leadership group today, Archie Collins, Kyprianou and Jed Steer, all three of them, you know, they definitely deserve praise for the way they guided some of the younger and potentially more nervous players through it.
No, I agree that, and we've come in for some of our own criticism as a podcast for maybe not being too nice and too complimentary about Jed Steer, but it was an absolutely fantastic performance from him today. Despite Huddersfield not actually having any shots on target or any saves for him to make, like we've said, we've made some fantastic blocks on the line, but no saves for Jed. His catching today and just plucking the ball out of the sky and helping his defenders was just an absolute joy to see. He was jumping, he was charging, he was knocking people over. Just the sheer determination to keep the ball out of the net and protect his defence that's in front of him, who ultimately at times has struggled this season. So you can't really ask for much more than that from your goalkeeper. Obviously, like I say, not actually challenged with shots on target or shots that he needed to make saves for. But it's a team game at the end of the day, isn't it? And when you think about where we were last week compared to this week, I think that it's such a fantastic change in atmosphere around the club. It just through one away win, like what a relief it was to sort of finally get that hoodoo off the back. And somebody else that was probably chucked in a little bit, I know that obviously we're saying that Carl Johnson's done a hamstring, another hamstring this season, and that's just as big of a concern, which I'm sure that we can touch on later. But James Donnelly was great as well. And to be chucked in what was a difficult atmosphere, a difficult ground. When I think back to when he played at Bolton, Fergie slagged him off. What a turnaround for James Donnelly, and that it looks like the time out of the team, and then obviously playing against Cheltenham has really done him some good. He looked full of energy. He looked like he wanted to battle for his club, his team, his teammates, and the supporters as well. And it was nice to see. I think that it's important that we always have that continuation of an academy player, and it looks like Ricky's going to be going, and it really looked like Donnelly wanted to fight for that badge today, and it was a joy to see after what's ultimately probably been quite a rocky season for him.
That's so right, but we've been saying all season that these are the sort of games, not this sort of game, but we should be playing Donnelly like sporadically, not the way we were start of the season. And I think by doing it, building him in like we have done today, he hasn't played for a few weeks coming, done very well. And there you could see there's a bit of confidence about him as well, which was good. So he's got his bit of confidence back. And some of his tackling I thought was quite good. You know, he wasn't scared to leave a boot in today, which, you know, beforehand he would have been a bit hesitant and whatever. So, you know, kudos to him. We're always quick to criticise players, but I think today, you know, he deserves a praise because I thought he was very good. His passing was good. His decision making was good. And getting stuck in, that's what you all know. I love a bit of players getting stuck in. So fair play to that. What I'd also like to bring up is actually, again, another player that we've criticised to the hill is Odo. I thought he had a very good game today for his standards. You know, I think we've all rated him quite highly, but he played well. What also made him play well is how well Eden played on the both down and left. They sort of complemented each other quite well. And it's the first time for a long time that I've seen a partnership down the side, either left or right, actually working quite well. So that was really pleasing to see. Eden having some some good passes, some good plays, some good positional, you know, not shirking a tackle again. Not that I think I've ever seen him shirk a tackle, but it looked good, you know, which is encouraging moving forward. Shame he can't play on Wednesday, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, it's pleasing to see these little pockets starting to come together. Wallin and Hughes, I thought, had a very good understanding with each other today. You know, it's just the little things are starting to come. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's the best performance of the season, because I don't think it was. What it was is one of the best performances we've seen for a long time. So overall, there's, you know, it's progress. And that's all we want to see. We want to see progress. We want to see the confidence. And we want to see players sort of happy playing for the club and not being scared to having the ball. And today, everybody wanted a ball. It's great to see, you know. Even Malik, he had a couple of dodgy passes, but he wasn't scared to keep wanting that ball back, you know, and that's great to see from a player's point of view. So, yeah, I was delighted with the game, to be fair.
Yeah, just to follow on from your 2 points there, Dale. Otto actually looked really happy playing for the football club, and I don't think I've seen him look that happy and that expressive. It's almost like somebody's taking his training wheels off, you know, like when you first learn to ride a bike, and he sort of just ran at anybody that he could. He wanted the ball, he won it back, and that's sort of the performance that I like to see. And it was the same from Malik. You know, it's been a player that's been widely criticised this season for maybe not caring or not playing hard enough. I don't think anybody could complain about the tenacity and the way he played today. I mean, he played basically a brand new role that I haven't seen us use this season, where he was picking the ball up. I mean, a forward player picking the ball up from deep and picking up passes. And yes, sometimes it didn't work, but we've seen it on the wing all season where Malik looks like he goes to take on this man. He chops back and he plays a ball into midfield. And from the wing, it's probably got a really bad completion rate. I mean, every time I've seen him do it, I'm almost adamant it's hit the opposition player. This time, those pockets of space that he found to play the balls through, I actually thought worked a lot better. I think he played a little bit too deep, but for a sort of like a, a, a first time using this sort of new role, I actually thought it was really, really good way to utilize him. I think Malik has like main character energy. Like he's got to be on the ball. He's got to be doing things. He's got to be helping the team. And this new role that we've sort of built could be really good for him. The more he plays it, the more he gets used to it, sort of dropping in deep and picking these balls out. You know, he will then be the conductor of our counterattacks and our attacking play and take that role off of Kyprianou and Collins sometimes to pick the ball up in their positions and maybe allow them to bomb on. So actually, I really like that role for Malik. And I think he had a really good performance today. And you know, his ratings will speak for himself. But I really do think that he put on a really good show.
Yeah, look, I actually didn't think that it was Malik Mothersill's strongest performance. But, you know, I think that was maybe because everybody else sort of upped their game finally. And look, not that Malik's been fantastic over the last 6 weeks, 2 months, but it did look like everybody else had sort of caught up, and he was frustrated. He probably is annoyed that he didn't get himself 2 or 3 goals today. There was lots of movement in the box, certainly in the second half, that just didn't seem to work. But that's the case when you are chopping and changing and having different players around you. I will say that what an absolute delight it was to finally see Brad on the pitch. And goodness gracious me, did he cause those Huddersfield defenders some serious, serious issues in that second half. It was almost like they'd done absolutely no research on him. For a lad that ultimately isn't massive and like absolutely stacked, goodness gracious me, does he know how to put his body around and ultimately bully defenders. And it just seems like it's just another great string in Bradley Ahonvian to our bow to see us through for the rest of the season and then into next season as well, that's for sure.
Yeah, Manny Fernandez got a hat-trick midweek, didn't he, for the under-21s? And I think within about 5 minutes of that third goal going in, we had about 3 or 4 tweets asking us to discuss whether Manny should be playing up front for us or not. And I know we discussed it last week as well, didn't we, about not having that option off of the bench. But Bradley is that guy. What an absolute throwback and an enjoyment watching him play up front. Those balls coming in over the top were just getting stuck to his chest, weren't they? He was bringing them down. He was going into the corner. He was getting kicked. He did not care one bit. I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying we should be starting him. But what an excellent addition we can bring off the bench and use in certain situations. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think actually the subs today were really, really impactful. I thought Bradley came on at the exact right time. Same with Sissoho, just to sort of tighten up that middle of the pitch. And I think the managerial team have to take a lot of credit today, and the coaching staff. I know Fergie wasn't on the sideline today, but he will have masterminded that performance. And I think, you know, he obviously learned from the game against them in August, where they really pressed us and really squeezed us in. We had a more unique way of breaking that press today, which was really good. We played through them a lot. And just generally, I think we were set up really well. He was obviously very wary of Huddersfield's threats. I think Wallin's pace was definitely utilised to the max against some very quick Huddersfield attackers. But also, he didn't sacrifice his principles, which is, at the end of the day, attacking football. You know, we set up with 4 clear attackers, a very clear front 4 out there. And we proper went for Huddersfield and it paid off. And my hope is now that is the style for the rest of the season. I think I'd rather, you know, as long as we're safe, I'd rather see us going out there and trying to attack teams rather than, you know, sitting back like we have done in recent weeks. I think that's been a frustration of all of us here on the podcast. And so, yeah, I hope that against Shrewsbury next week at home and then into the future, and definitely we go to Cambridge, we go to attack. And when we have Poku back, hopefully that will be even better, because I think a front 4 of Odo, if he's on the form he was today, Malik, Ricky or Lindgren or Brad, and then Poku as well. Well, that's a pretty formidable front 4 in any division, but especially in League One.
Yeah, look, I mean, not that we should be relying on players coming back from injury. Obviously, there's going to be some concerns about whether his hamstring goes again with our track record at the moment, but you know, it's exciting, isn't it? And it seems like it's going to tick into March, and it's going to be an exciting time to be a Peterborough United fan. Are we in the clear at the moment? I'm not so convinced. It is a 1 nil at the moment, only a 1-0 result. But Huddersfield were poor, and ultimately they're fifth in the division, aren't they? So to go there in our current form and having not won away since August, crikey, how do we top that? I think that obviously we know that we've got some difficult games coming up again, and we've got, what is it now, 14 cup finals, I would probably say, with a semi-final and then hopefully an actual cup final on the way. It's very important that we don't get too ahead of ourselves, but at the same time, you've got to enjoy what we had today. And it certainly was enjoyable, and at the same time, just a great sense of relief. Like, it almost didn't feel real at the final whistle that we'd actually managed to do it. So relief is definitely my overriding emotion, but I'm feeling better that we can take this forward for the rest of the season and hopefully not find ourselves having to go to Rotherham and get a result on the last day. I don't want that pain. I don't want that stress. Today was bad enough trying to hold on for a single goal. I don't need that at Rotherham against the Steve Evans team. So please, Posh, just keep doing what we did today. I want to see us attack. Yes, the result, like I said, doesn't go and show that we were attacking, but we had the chances today and it didn't feel like we had the chances in previous games.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a massive win. And we've got a big game on Wednesday night that we'll get onto in a moment. But first, obviously, Peterborough United released their season ticket information for next season. You know, is it a price freeze? Is it not? There's been plenty of debate about that on social media. One thing we can say is that it doesn't look like the prices have gone up as much as we thought they would. Ash, what is your thoughts on the season ticket announcement, the way it was announced, and also the pricing?
Well, I must say, as a platinum season ticket holder, I am absolutely delighted. No price increase for me. And the fact that they've binned off the coach ticket just makes it all the more like justifiable. Am I annoyed that they've not included a program in there? Because I do like that collector's item. Is this going to be the last season that we have programs at the club? More than likely, that's a disappointing one for me, because I like that collector's piece that we have. But in terms of, obviously, we did a live, didn't we, Charlie? You myself, and John, and DMAC gave you a lesson on economics, didn't he? But here we are in another price freeze. So you can only sort of praise him. It sounds like Clive's had a really, really big push on that. Like when we did a live with Clive, Clive said that he is such a big advocate for the fans. And it does sound like when we obviously had that video from DMAC that Clive had pushed for stuff for the fans. So that's good to see as well. And ultimately, at what could have been an absolutely rotten time, if we'd have released the ticket info, was it on Wednesday or Thursday, and then gone to Huddersfield and lost, we probably would have been in the relegation zone. That would have been a disaster. So all in all, off the pitch and on the pitch, it's been a fantastic week for Posh.
Yeah, definitely. I think, listen, I mean, I was very vehemently told that we weren't going to have a price freeze again. So it was a nice surprise, if somewhat confusing as to why I was so strongly grilled in front of, you know, 7,000 people live. But oh well, I've read an economics textbook, and I think the economics textbook told me that Dara maybe got a little bit less confident on our chances of staying up as he was when we were live. I think, you know, he did deep down realize that raising the season ticket prices substantially and being in League Two would have a massive negative effect on our gate. You know, our fans are good and they do support the team, but they're not going to pay ridiculous amounts of money for League Two football. Listen, I'm happy with the price freeze. I mean, you'd be crazy not to be happy with it, to be honest. It's a great thing for the club to do for the fans. I just hope that it doesn't end up with a trickle effect where, you know, we're hit with a massive price increase next season. I hope we can still sort of go up incrementally and do it sort of a little amount at the time. I'm really happy with it. I think hopefully it means that season tickets will stay around the same, or, you know, maybe even get an increase in season ticket holders for next season. Yeah, I'm very pleased about the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's right, isn't it, Charlie? I think that the concern is that, yes, a freeze is fantastic in the here and the now, but if we fast forward a year, do we now find ourselves in a position where the next increase, which will inevitably happen, we can't sustain these prices forever, but will next year's increase, if there is an increase next year, will that be a bigger one? It does always go back to, do we have the COVID freeze regret? I know that obviously everybody that had a COVID season ticket, they've now dropped out of that freeze and have seen an increase in that, which, you know, that was always explained along the way. And I think it was an extra 2 years that was given for the COVID freeze. So they should be more than grateful for that, that's for sure. But if we'd have just put the prices up £20 or let's say £25 every season for the last five seasons, then there would be no outrage that there was a hundred pound increase on the season ticket, or it could be 150, it could be 200 for all we know. We won't find that out until we do see a proper increase. But that would be my only concern, is that at some point there's going to be a big increase, and could it have been sort of limited if we'd have just done a consistent increase year on year?
Just I want to highlight a couple of things on the season tickets. Now, when COVID happened, if we all read the small print properly, it was over, I think it was 2 years if we stayed in the same division, and it was 1 year if we got promoted. We actually got promoted, so therefore it should have been null and void after that promotion year. But the club actually extended it for an additional year, or it might have been an additional 2 years for the freeze. So they could have pulled the plug after the year we went into the Championship because we went up, but they didn't. And also, everyone was saying, oh, the price has gone up this year. Well, if you've been a regular season ticket holder for the last 3-4 years, then the price hasn't gone up, because last year the price did go up to new season ticket holders, but us that had a season ticket prior had the same price freeze. So this year, I'm now paying what I should have been paying last year, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Like, I've tried to explain it as thick as I can, you know, because we all know I'm not the most thingy. So hopefully that makes sense. And what you're saying there about the prices going up, they will go up next year, no doubt about it. But it won't be the huge increase that lots of people will think. It'll be small increments. I'm confident of that. But, you know, so hopefully I've explained it a little bit clearer on that side of things.
Yeah, that was actually very helpful, Dale. As somebody who's not had to look much at the pricing as sort of an under 18, obviously my parents have got tickets for me in the past, you know, that's very helpful as I have to start paying for an adult ticket next year. Anyway, the one thing that was disappointing and a bit weird, actually, was the fact that the GH, we still can't get season tickets in there. It's frustrating. I think getting season tickets in the GH is really one of the only ways that there's going to build a really strong culture around it, and it's going to become like a stronger sort of atmosphere section. You know, certain clubs have atmosphere sections where, you know, they decorate them for the fans that are in there, and they have a name. I don't think that's going to happen to Posh until we can get season tickets in there. But that said, we were told to behave well in the GH this season to try and get season tickets in there. We've not been exemplary. You know, parents' evening wouldn't look great for a lot of those kids if Clive and Phil had a chance to sit them down. But we've not been awful. The fact that we still got to open at points this season is good. Yeah, it's disappointing. It's also weird that they used the GH as like the picture for the season tickets thing as the background, considering it's the only stand in the ground that we can't actually buy season tickets in. But whatever the marketing team wants to do, that's their prerogative. But yeah, I think it's disappointing, very disappointing. Is what it is. I guess we'll live in hope that a promotion next year, and then we can split the GH full time in the Championship.
Yeah, you mentioned the sort of GH and the kids that go in there and creating that culture. I think that one thing that does need to be touched on, we recorded on Saturday evening and it sort of hadn't really come out at that time, and there was some kids and some issues in the Stevenage away, and I just sort of wanted to make sure that people didn't think that we were shirking that and avoiding that. I think that if there was anything said, you know, the majority of us were down the left-hand side, so we didn't see it. If there was anything said at these stewards, I think that is an embarrassment and ultimately disgraceful. What I did probably notice is that maybe these weren't Posh fans. These were kids that had come with their mates. Going back to Charlton on the Tuesday night, I was sat down the front with a few others, and there was a group of seven kids or so with their mates, and allegedly one of them spat towards a ball boy. So that's two incidents in two games. And you don't want to give youth a bad name, because I've been there. Obviously, Charlie's young, Max is young as well, and we know lots of people that are in that sort of 14 to 21 bracket. And you don't want to tar them all with the same brush, but it does seem like there's certainly an increase in people that are not going for the football and are just going to sort of disrupt and cause issues, which is not something that we want as a fan base. But yeah, look, if anybody said anything, ultimately, I think that probably should have been reported sooner. Not from the club side, but why was it that it was only coming out on a Sunday? It would have been great to have seen that during the game, if something were to have happened, so that it could have been dealt with there and then, rather than ultimately it just sort of being not brushed aside as such, but nothing can happen. Like they're not going to be able to get noise and CCTV and all of that sort of stuff. It should have been dealt with there and then by the stewards that were on site, and then potentially the police as well.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we've got that club statement on Tuesday about that incident that said that they have found that, you know, no official reports were lodged by Stevenage officials or the police on the day. So there's no investigations pending. But yeah, if that is the case, what I would say, though, is that I've seen just as many, you know, drunk 55-year-old, 60-year-old blokes that think they're hard as nails because they've, you know, been going to games for years, make idiots of themselves and make idiots of the club than I have these young people. I think often when there's reports of bad stuff being done at games, it's often the young people that get given the stick. But, you know, I looked, you know, you think about Lincoln when there was that thing kicking off at the front of the stand, you know, I actually saw a lot of older guys acting completely ridiculously, you know, going up to younger fans and pushing them for no reason and trying to start fights. So listen, it is what it is. I think, unfortunately, when incidents like this happen, it's always going to come back to young people. That's just the way it is. That's the way society is geared at the moment. And I don't want to get too philosophical, but yes, I think all posh fans, no matter whether old or young, should behave in a way that the club would be proud of them. And I think that's all that needs to be said on that matter. And in terms of the season tickets, I'd love to see some of these guys, some of the ones that maybe are so against the GH, come in for a game and really try and immerse themselves in it. Because I think a lot more of them would enjoy it than they think. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Well, anyway, moving on to Wrexham midweek. That's right, we have another clash. We thought we were done with Hollywood FC for this season after the 1-0 defeat there in January. But no, Ash has one final chance to upset North Wales. I'll start with you, Max, though. What are your thoughts ahead of a BSM Virtue Trophy semi-final?
Well, obviously, I think it's a great opportunity for us to go back to Wembley. And that's the main thing. I said I'd be happy if we beat Scum down the road, if we went to Wembley, and if we stayed up. I'd be very happy if we achieved all those three things. And currently, after that win on Huddersfield, against Huddersfield, I'm feeling quite confident in staying up and going unbeaten for the rest of the season. But it's all joking aside, it is obviously a massive opportunity to get to Wembley. And I think Wrexham, as good as they are, last time we went, it was a lot closer than I think people gave us credit for. And me being the optimist, this is like a perfect setting for me because I can be so reactionary after we've just won like that. And I think we'll win. I really do. And if we don't win, you know, Wrexham is an excellent story, and they've spent a lot of money. They've got a good manager. They've got a good squad. And they've been up there all season. So if we don't win, I think it's actually probably like a sort of like a win-win. Like if we lose, fair enough. We got to the semis. It's been a really tough season, but we've got all the way to the semis. And if we win, it's another trip to Wembley. And that's a big thing, especially with the season being such a disappointment. I think fans can really sort of get behind going to Wembley, and having the opportunity to do the double.
Yeah, look, I mean, when I think back to when we went to Wrexham the last time, was it the 5th of January? That performance, even though we lost 1-0, it felt like it was hopefully going to be sort of a turning point in the season. Realistically, it hasn't been. Since then, it's been a little bit of a car crash. So I'm hoping that after, you know, James McLean and Elliot Lee's inability to drive their cars, that our car crash of a season so far is going to fit nicely at the racecourse ground. And all of the Welsh fans and all the Wrexham fans are going to make us feel just at home, just like their players have been. Do I think that we're going to Wembley like Max does? I'm not so sure. I'm concerned that we went there and we had a performance where we played a back five. We had Carl Johnston, we had Katongo in the team, we had Hayes playing left wing back. We're going to go there this week. And look, Dornelli was great today. Mills was great against Cheltenham and has put in some good performances this season. Manny will probably start and Wallen will probably start. So we are missing some key players at the back. Is Jed Steer going to be able to coach them through the game for 90 minutes and then potentially into penalties? I'm not too sure. But what we did see at Wrexham when we went there was big man Brad. And he had those Wrexham fans on absolute strings at points. And after today's performance, look, it could be Brad time. And it could be the time that we see him step up and bag his next goal in his absolute episode of Bradley moments. I'm looking forward to it. What's not to be excited about a semi-final? Look, like you're expecting a sellout, aren't you? An issue. They've got a stand shut. Semi-final. Big teams like Birmingham sell their grounds out, don't they, for semi-finals. Wrexham clearly not interested anymore.
I think we're just going to have to timestamp that with Wrexham bait for like really irritable Americans that are watching us right now. Listen, I think you're right, Ash, actually, about Brad. I am very excited. I think he's got to start. He loves this tournament. Whether it's mazy runs against Cheltenham or absolutely sending them into the top corner away at Gillingham, he has a little love affair going with this competition and I'm enjoying it. And after today, I feel like he's amped up. He's a very... He's such an interesting guy to watch. His mannerisms are fantastic. You know, he's got the makings of one of those really good, weird number nines. You know how like all good strikers are a little bit weird? He's got the weird locked down. He could do very well for us. I am worried. I think, you know, having Adun and Hughes not in the team, obviously Johnson's injured anyway, but Adun and Hughes missing will be tough, really tough. And it will be really tough if we get to Wembley as well, because they have undoubtedly helped to turn our fate around a little bit, stopped us conceding as many goals. I think it's disappointing that they're not going to be involved, but it serves as an opportunity. You know, Harley Mills has been excellent in the little bits he's played, I think. You know, he's really unlucky to get sent off in the Christmas period, but I think he's been really good. And Manny scored a hat-trick midweek. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the wand of the left foot of Harley Mills that was setting Manny up each time for these set pieces. If we can just replicate that a couple of times at the Stock K RAS or whatever it's called, we will be absolutely cooking. Listen, I think we're going to do okay. I'm really confident, actually. I don't know why Wrexham fans don't seem to be as up for the game. And that's not even a dig. It just seems like they are really, really focusing on the league, which is fair. You know, Wickham are faltering. They can see a space in the top two potentially opening up for them. But yeah, I feel like they've got bigger fish to fry. And I feel like after today, 3 points takes a little bit of pressure off relegation. I really am feeling good about this one. I think we'll be seeing Birmingham Wembley way, and my bookmarks are full from the draw day of Wrexham fans looking forward to their final with Birmingham already. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, I don't feel as relaxed as what you do, Charlie, but I wouldn't say I'm worried either. Obviously, Wrexham are a good side and anything can happen, and everyone talks about the fairy tale and then playing Birmingham at Wembley. But when it comes to these games in the cup, it comes down to whoever wants it more, isn't it? And it's, do Wrexham really want it? Like, does this trophy really excite the fans as much as getting to the championship does? I mean, they've been to Wembley a few times in the last few years, haven't they? It's not like a new day out for them. I know it's not for us either, but this is an opportunity for us to really, you know, turn our season around and take that momentum into the back end of this season and just the beginning of next season. the players that we've got coming in, I think Wallin's just played the last couple of games that probably have been the best games he's played for us. Harley Mills played really well, come out the team and now is going to go back into the team, feeling refreshed. Dornelli, the same. He's just come back in. Really good performance. I think we're going to turn up, play a really mature performance. Whether or not it will be enough, I don't know. But in terms of the opposition, I'm honestly not that fussed that it's Wrexham. We played there a couple of weeks ago and played well. They were lucky to win in the last minute, and that was us playing real like five at the back, trying not to concede. We're a different team now. I'd like to think we've got a bit more confidence than that. So I do think we're going to give them a game. I don't think Manny's going to score a hat trick, unfortunately. I think Wrexham's defence is a little bit better than the under 21 side that we played last week. But yeah, I can see it being a really good close game.
Yeah, look, I think that the issue that we've got here is that Wrexham have used this competition for rotation of their players. The problem is that Mullin's not been getting into their matchday squad. And what a rotation that is to be able to bring in Paul Mullin and I think it's Mo Fahl, is it, that they've got up top as well? Not a bad pair of strikers to be able to bring in for this competition. And look, it's written, isn't it, that Wrexham and Birmingham, they get the final. I don't have an issue with that. The irony would be is that their American owners would then get to watch two League One football teams in a 90,000 capacity stadium when we see year on year the Super Bowl numbers and it's like 65K. A crappy little League One competition and final would end up with 90K watching it and billions across the world. That would be somewhat special. Like we there's no denying that we go to Wrexham on Wednesday night as the underdogs. Let's just hope that we can have something special. We went to Blackpool last year. We maybe weren't underdogs, but we had just lost to them at the weekend and we were on a sort of torrid run. I would like the players to go there with absolutely no fear, knowing that as long as they do their best, then they'll have done us proud, because ultimately this season didn't deserve a semi-final. This season certainly doesn't deserve a final. But look, anything can happen in cup football, can't it? So I would hope that we can put a decent show of ourselves. But if we bow out of the competition at the semi-final stage, look, yes, it will be disappointing. But you know, these players have hopefully given themselves the show to kick on for the rest of the season, which is what's important. A virtue trophy for us this season is not important. It was great last season. I'm not going to argue that. And anybody that says that they don't want to be in the final is just an absolute lie. You've seen the reaction from Birmingham fans from getting to Wembley. Like, this is a big club that is enjoying the fact that they've got to Wembley. Wrexham fans will be exactly the same if they get to the final. They will love it. They will sell out their ticket allocation. I just hope that we go there and we don't let ourselves down, even if it means that we drop out of the competition.
Yeah, I think, listen, both Wrexham and Posh this season have bigger fish to fry than this semi-final. I think probably they want it slightly less than us. But listen, they're still a very good side. And when you look at, you know, you mentioned Mullin, a squad depth. Ollie Palmer's not been getting in the squad either, so they'll have that sort of strike partnership probably. Yeah, there's no doubt that they have a better squad than us. They have a better depth than us. But it's just whether, you know, I think if we put in a performance like we did today, we go and cause any League One team trouble. And I think Wrexham would be no different. And even when you look back at that game at the start of January, we had chances, you know, definitely had chances. We just didn't take them. And you know, it was one defensive slip again. So let's hope we're more immune to that this time. We're about to find out whether we all think we are more immune to that this time, because it's time for some score predictions. I'm sure this will be nice and quiet. Ash, I'll go to you first.
I actually am going to predict us to lose. I don't have the confidence that we can't go there and sort of do one over Wrexham. I don't think that they're that type of team. I have to sort of look after myself and make sure that I don't look a complete twat. I've already done that earlier on. But I'm going to predict goals, that's for sure, because I think that we're going to leave ourselves exposed at the back by trying to outscore Wrexham. I think that we'll lose 4-3. But like I say, if the players go there and do that, there won't be any qualms from me if we bow out the competition.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm more confident than you, Ash. I do think we'll win, but I'm not going to predict us going there and tearing them to shreds like I did in August. I think I've learned my lesson on that one. So what I will predict is, I agree it's going to be high scoring, but I reckon rusty players for Wrexham, I think, will be up top. I think we'll probably go unchanged with the front four if Brad or Bradley might come in, and we may have Gustav available as well, and Poku is going to travel, even if he's not going to get in the squad. We don't know that yet for sure. Listen, I think we'll win. I do have quite a lot of confidence going into this game. I think we'll win. I think Wrexham have bigger fish to fry. I actually have developed a soft spot for Wrexham over the season because I think, you know, their fans have been actually quite nice. I'm only winding them up. I think I'll go 3-2 Posh. And Manny Fernandez is going to bag, isn't he? He's going to have to.
Yeah, I can see it being a really good, entertaining battle. But like I said earlier, I do think we'll probably just come up short. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Wrexham win.
It's times like these where you have to, you know, stay optimistic. And especially as we've just beaten Huddersfield 1-0. And I am in a very reactionary mood. I'm going to say 3-0 Posh win. And I think, look, from the reactions of everywhere else, I will be ending up on a fan forum. But I mean, if we lose, we lose. But I'm going out with a bang. And John will be turning in his grave when he finds out I've predicted that. But you have to do it. You have to do it. But, look, I'm only going to get this opportunity once, okay? It's once to go to Wembley. And hopefully Posh don't let me down.
I mean, we went to Wembley last season, but whatever. I think, listen, you know what? I rate your optimism, Max. If you want a bit of that Wrexham engagement that Ash and I have had over the last season, good on you. I'll leave it. Actually, his at is written just beneath his name if you want to know where to find him, Wrexham fans, after the inevitable happens on Wednesday night. Del, he had to leave us during the recording, but he did put a score prediction in just before he left. He thinks Posh are going to win on penalties after a 2-2 draw in normal time, which will be, you know, that I'd love that. I would show unbelievable character. And yeah, I think that's us done. So I'm much happier up the Poshcast today. You know, we'd seen the signs that something was brewing, and that away win today was fantastic. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoyed Huddersfield, and safe travels to anyone who's going to Wrexham on Wednesday night as well. Be loud and proud, and let's hope that we can pull one over on Hollywood. Thanks for listening. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. Adlam out.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
I'd like to place on record, just so that everybody knows, that Charlie has bottled his prediction and actually in the chat has said that he thinks we're going to win 4-2.